Welcome to The Eternal Connection, a radio broadcast ministry of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Whether it be through prescribed behaviors, rituals, or practices, every religion in the world teaches that if we desire to know God, it is our responsibility to find Him and know Him. Christianity, however, teaches something very different. Christianity teaches that God has come to us and has revealed His love for us by putting on flesh in Jesus Christ and by giving us His Word, through which He continues to speak to us today. We're glad you've joined us as Pastor Jay continues leading us through the Bible right here, right now on The Eternal Connection.
And once again, you are eternally connected. Thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Eric Jay here from St. Mark Lutheran Church in Omaha, Nebraska, who sponsors this show. And we're thankful for it. And we're thankful you're here to remain connected to our God, our Maker, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And we're continuing to celebrate the season of Easter here. Chip, Jason, Chip, I'll get back to you later. Jason, you got to be doing well. You are coming back from another vacation. And you look like you got some sun, my friend.
Well, it was a good trip. Had a lot of fun. I did make a mistake, like a true Nebraska guy going to an island. I put all sorts of sunscreen on one day, the first day, and I didn't want to get it in my eye. So I eliminated it around the eyes. And by the end of the day, I was wearing quite the red circle around my eyes. So it was a good, funny story from the trip. It had a great time.
Do you have pictures?
My wife may.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Renetta, send me some pictures. I promise I won't do anything with them. Just
trust me. There was plenty of jokes made.
Yeah. Well, it was a good trip overall.
Yes, and what a really neat culture. It's a country we hadn't visited before, and their native culture was pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. All right, Chip, what do you got to top that?
I got nothing. Not. I've been to no islands. I recently, and I, you know, just work and play and
good.
And actually, we're getting ready to. We met with Lydia.
Oh yeah,
from the church.
Yeah, our DCE. Director of Christian education over at St. Mark.
And we're starting to work on getting ready for the VBS
Vacation Bible School.
Yeah, yep. And so we got some pretty cool ideas.
Yeah, I heard she was quite excited when she came back.
Well,
she's,
good.
She said you got the whole thing planned, so she's done working on it.
All right. Well, I probably need to call her after the show and say, not quite.
Vacation Bible School kind of leads into, well, if you're talking about Vacation Bible School, that means we're getting closer to summer.
Uh-huh.
And we all know if we live in Nebraska, some folks might be listening somewhere else, but in Nebraska, we have a lot of seasons, and right now it's a horribly confused weather season.
Sure is.
Because it's 50 and then 80 and then raining and snowing, but then it's also seasons in the church. And before we went on the air today, I was asking Pastor, like, after Easter, what happens with, you know, what season is it, you know? So Pastor, what season is the church now compared to maybe before Easter? Does it change?
Well, what is, do you remember what the season is before Easter?
I don't.
Lent.
Well, I did not know that was a season. Yep. But yes, we've talked about that many times.
Yes, we have. So yeah, the 40 days leading up to Easter, reminding you of the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness being, you know, fasting and being tempted, leads up to Easter. And Easter is not just a day. Easter is a season. And there are seven Sundays, essentially, that celebrate the season of Easter. And by season, we just mean, hey, there's an event, but that event isn't just the resurrection, right? The resurrection of Jesus is certainly the center point of Christianity, but yet that sacrifice and resurrection wouldn't count for anything unless Jesus ascended back to the Father and was received. And that's important. God receives that sacrifice back to heaven where Jesus came from and says it's approved. And so anyone else that has been baptized and believes in Jesus' name is approved. So the season of Easter covers all the appearances. You cover all the different accounts of Jesus appearing to people in his resurrection, and kind of what happened in between Easter Day, Ascension, and then, of course, after that comes Pentecost. And Jesus sending his spirit as he promised before going to the cross, and then the disciples going out and continuing that work of Jesus, and that's the season of Pentecost. So Pentecost is a day too, but then the season of Pentecost is, okay, the work, the growth of the church, not just the day when the Spirit came, but what did the Spirit do? And that's essentially the book of Acts all the way through Revelation. And then once you get through Pentecost, you kind of start everything all over again after Reformation Sunday, and then you're back into Advent. And that's the season before Christmas.
Which, it seems like every time we talk about it, it starts to click a little more and a little more. And it brings me back to the early days of telling you I wanted to figure it all out tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, it takes a little bit more time than that. But yeah, if you think of seasons in the church, they're just seasons that follow the story of God's salvation. In Galatians, the book of Galatians that we're in now, falls squarely, I would say, in the season of Pentecost, the church growth, Paul going out as one of the apostles called and sent by the Spirit to bring in the harvest of the Gentiles, whom he is writing to and talking to as we continue in chapter 4. And as we talked about last week, when we looked at verses 12 through 20, we got a little different side of Paul, more personal side, and we'll jump into that a little bit as a review before we continue on and hopefully finish chapter 4 today. So, Chip, pray for us, and we will dig into Galatians 4, reviewing verse 12 and then getting into 21.
All right. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You've given them to us that we may know you more intimately as our Savior and our King. Jesus, all Scripture points to you as it is all about you from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Help us see you in the words we hear this morning. Let the words of our mouths bring you praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so, at the end of that, you said, let the words of our mouths bring you praise, and he gave us the word, gave us the ability to speak. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a neat part of your prayer.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of speaking, Paul is speaking to the Galatians, the churches in Galatia, heartbroken over them as they are leaving really the only love, not just their first love, but the first love of all people, God, his grace, his salvation that comes freely, and really throwing themselves back into slavery by allowing the Judaizers, as they're called, or some of the Christians who want to make the Gentiles obey Jewish law and believe in Jesus in order to receive them into the body of Christ. And Paul's saying, no, that's not how this works. Jesus did everything. Jesus said, all of the law and prophets are fulfilled in him. It doesn't mean that they're null and void. It means that they're very much active, but they're active through faith in Christ, not through obedience to the law. And as we talked about last time, Paul made a lot of heavy theological arguments centering really on Abraham and circumcision, because that was the argument from the opponents, from the Judaizers, that they had to be circumcised, they had to follow the Torah, and Paul says no. And we get a different side of that argument that we reviewed last week in verse 12, where he's recalling a very personal story when he first came to them and just preached the good news of Jesus, a name they'd never heard before, a story they never heard before, and it was the simple message of the cross that brought them to the knowledge of truth, that brought them into the freedom of the gospel, which Paul will get to in chapter 5, and really calls on them to remember that personal connection they had, saying, look, if these arguments don't work, look at what you're throwing away. You're betraying this relationship in the body you have with me. And what he says in verse 15, what then has become of your blessedness? I testify to you that if possible, you'd have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. And then in verse 16, have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? So it was a really heartfelt cry that Paul gave to try and not just only show them the evidence in Scripture, but really just plead with them as a human. And that's a really powerful part of Galatians that shows the work of the gospel that happens in and through human relationship, that it's not just intellectual, that it does exist within the relationships of people together, and our emotions and our stories play a part in that. And God uses those stories in order to bring his good news, and he uses relationships in order to rebuke and correct and keep us in the faith. And oftentimes I think we look for God outside of the ordinary, when from the very beginning, God is a God who has come into the ordinary to do extraordinary things. And that's part of what we see there in the middle of chapter 4, is that ordinary kind of human relationship, right? If you've ever been in an argument with somebody or a relationship is strained, sometimes the argument is just, hey, for the sake of our relationship, let's talk about that for a minute, not who's right or who's wrong. And that kind of a personal outburst there of Paul. But then without much time in between, in verse 21, he goes back to the theological arguments, because at the end of the day, it's the word of God that's going to convince minds and hearts.
Right.
And he gets real deep. Paul's going to kind of use some deep theology here in verse 21. He says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, meaning the Galatians or the Judaizers that are deceiving them, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise.
Abraham had two sons. Mm-hmm. The first one from Sarah.
Nope. First one from Hagar, their servant, their slave.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah, because they were faithless, essentially, in waiting for God's promise. And so right. Per Sarah's request, he slept with Hagar and they had Ishmael.
But then later, God
kept his promise.
Yeah, said Sarah would have a child, and she did.
And she did, and that was Isaac.
Right. Yeah. But here they say it's, where's the words? Through promise and according to the flesh, was born through promise. What was the other term there?
Slave.
Yeah.
Verse 23, but the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise.
What does the flesh versus the promise mean there?
Well, why was Ishmael born? Why is Ishmael there at all? Because Abraham and Sarah
decided to take
matters into their own hand. God made a promise. That's not enough. We need to do it our way and according to our time. We need to do it according to the flesh. And what Paul's going to end up saying is, how did that turn out? Not good.
Well, that's the one that eventually got sent off.
Correct.
Right. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Sent off to Arabia, which is where we're getting to here, which also is where Mount Sinai was. So he's saying, look, the son of the slaves was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise.
And now, the promise is God.
God's promise. Now, you have to understand the backdrop to this is the Judaizers make a big deal out of being children of Abraham. Right? We read that in John. We are children of Abraham. How can you say that we're not free?
But we're all children of God. It's even bigger though, right?
Right. But in the narrow sense, Paul is making a distinction here between, yes, you are children of Abraham, but remember, there were two children of Abraham. Which one are you? And that's the line of argument he's going to continue. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. Which is, so he's going to take this true story, and now as an apostle, as one charged and commissioned, and he's going to make a New Testament truth to that. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children.
Not going to lie, I'm going to have to read that three or four more times off the air.
Yeah, like I said, Paul's getting real deep here. And really what he's doing through this letter to the Galatians is refuting the Jewish theologians, right, who are trying to twist the word of God. So he's taking a going into the ring, you could say, through his letter to the Galatians and really writing through them to the liars that are trying to deceive them. And he's saying, look, Abraham had two kids. One of them was a child of slavery. The other one was a child of freedom. The other one was a child of slavery because it was born out of men trying to bring salvation according to their own efforts, according to what seemed right to them. The other one was born of the promise that God was faithful despite their failings, despite men's inability. Sarah was barren. Abraham was old. Those are the two children of Abraham. Now, Hagar went down to Arabia. And he's making some geographical connections here. He's saying Sinai is in Arabia, which is true. What was given on Mount Sinai?
The law.
The law, the Ten Commandments, narrowly speaking. And so what Paul is saying is you Judaizers are focusing on the do's and the do nots, but yet the law is bigger than that. Before the law was given on Mount Sinai, again, he's already made this argument up above in chapters 3 and earlier in 4. Before Mount Sinai, there was a promise. There was a son born. God fulfilled the promise before the law was given. And it's through that son that God said he was going to bring and bless many, all the nations of the world. So salvation comes not from the law because God's promise of a promised son was given before the law existed. And so this is what he's really drilling down on here at the end of chapter 4. So Hagar, the son born into slavery, corresponds to the present Jerusalem. So he's not saying they're born of Hagar biologically, right?
Right.
It's a correspondence, an allegory. That child was born of slavery. Jerusalem, you say you're children of Abraham, and you are, but yet you are the sons of slavery because you are relying on the law, your obedience to it, or your perceived obedience to it in order to be saved. But he says in verse 26, the Jerusalem above, the new Jerusalem, the true Jerusalem, the one that's not going to get sacked by nations, the one that's not going to be overtaken by Rome, that true Jerusalem above, she is our mother. It's free. The Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. And of course, now he's talking about Sarah, right? For it is written, he says in verse 27, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Sarah, right?
Right.
Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. And he's quoting from Isaiah there. And the important part about that, briefly, is Isaiah was writing to Israel, who would be in captivity because of their sin in Babylon, helpless, unable to do anything. Jerusalem had been sacked, right? And now he's saying, I'm going to bring you hope because of a promise. You're going to be freed from slavery because of the promise of a child, not because of your obedience to the law.
Why such a separation from the two moms? Am I missing something there?
Well, what do you mean by separation?
Well, they definitely call out the, you know, hey, this one was through slavery and this one was not. Or, you know.
Yeah, and Paul's definitely not coming crashing down on Hagar, and neither did God. If you remember, God blessed Ishmael. I mean, he made him very prosperous. God said he's gonna prosper greatly. And Ishmael did. He also said Ishmael's going to be a donkey of a man. He's going to be stubborn. He's definitely going to... As Paul's going to say, he's going to end up persecuting the real child, right? And that's what we see happening even between Hagar and Sarah. But that's not God's fault. That's Abraham and Sarah's fault and Hagar's fault. So the distinction Paul's making is one of theological importance, not personal value or personal importance between the Arabs or the Jews. Because that's how this passage can be grossly misinterpreted, is pitting the children of Ishmael against the children of Sarah. That's why Paul says it's an allegory, right? He's making a theological truth, which ultimately says we're all one, Jew or Gentile or Arab or Chinese or whatever. As long as you are the child of promise, you are all equally children of God. But if you try and make this about yourself, well, now you're actually bringing division.
All of this, the Bible, God, the Word, all the history has taught me is it's definitely not about just me. There's a whole lot there.
Well, and hopefully, you know, I know this is really, really in the deep end of the pool theologically, but hopefully what this does on at least a surface level is show God is the same yesterday, today, and always. Here we have Jesus' apostles, whom Jesus himself is speaking through, showing how, look, this was in play all the way back in Genesis 16. This was a salvation for everyone from the beginning. There was no distinction from the beginning. This was a gift from the very outset, no different than the gift of life itself. I mean, Paul's not making that argument here, but life itself is a pure gift. Adam and Eve didn't ask to be made. They didn't do anything to earn to be alive. Neither did you and neither did I. So the God who makes us freely is going to redeem us freely. So are you either a child of freedom? Are you a child of Sarah who couldn't have children, who had no choice, and even when she did have a choice, along with her husband, made the wrong one? Are you going to live in grace? Or are you going to submit to slavery? Are you going to be the child of Ishmael? Nothing wrong with Ishmael. He didn't have a choice either. But the situation that brought him about was one of defiance and insistence on your own way and relying on yourself to get to heaven. And Paul's saying, that's not going to work. Never did.
I like how you mentioned that God operates the same way and has always. He doesn't change.
Right.
Because I think there's a lot of people today that look at the Old Testament and think, well, that's the rule book. That's what we're supposed to. I hear an acronym that I cringe. The Bible's, what is it? The basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And to have that mentality of what I have to do, what I have to perform, that's exactly what Paul is railing against,
right?
Because that is slavery. That's not freedom. That's not the freedom that Christ, when he looked at Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her brood of chicks. It's because he was mourning over the fact that they were hearing the message that is, look, freedom, Christ alone.
But refusing
to believe it.
Yeah.
And basically saying, yes, I'd rather live in slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Going all the way back to the original promise that was delivered first before the law ever came along.
Yeah, and just in case you're thinking that this just has to do with the people in the Bible, we do the same thing with God when we either, sins of commission and omission, we insist on being in slavery. When we commit a sin of saying no to God, or I know this is how you want me to live and do things, but I'm going to do it this way because I think it's better and it's going to be better for me, you're signing yourself up for a hard road.
Yep.
Even if it seems to be going well at first, it's not going to end well. Or you do the same thing, submit yourself to slavery, when you don't do the things God does say. It's not just doing the wrong things, right? And I would say when we neglect the word of God today, when we neglect being in church, when we neglect following Jesus, because that's what he did. He lived in the word of God. He lived in the synagogue. He lived in God's people. When we neglect those things, we're saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. And you're submitting yourself once again to slavery. And the Galatians at this point don't see those consequences yet, but Paul does. Remember Paul, the one who ended up killing Christians, who thought his whole life he was righteous and holy and things were going his way and he was great, that ended up in death. So Galatians, don't be bewitched. Back off, right? And that's where he goes in verse 28. Now, brothers, like Isaac, you are children of the promise. You are children of the promise. How do we know that? Because you believe in Jesus. You didn't come to faith in Jesus through the law. You came to believe in Jesus, as he said earlier, because you saw Christ crucified through the preaching that I brought to you. That's how you came. That's how we know you're children of freedom. But just as at that time, as he says in verse 29, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. And he's talking about Ishmael persecuting Isaac. There is a long-standing Jewish tradition that Ishmael did that, and it's mainly based off of God's word in Genesis 16 that he's going to be, right, a donkey. He's going to be against his brothers. He's going to kick and scream.
Well, and I have to believe that when he wrote that particular verse, he had to have in mind his own heart.
Oh, yes.
Because that's exactly what he did. He persecuted everyone of freedom.
Right. And great connection. And don't forget that what he said earlier up in verse 12, brothers, going back to last week where he was having this personal plea, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. I used to be that guy. I used to be a son of Ishmael against everyone, even against my own Jewish brethren, against God's people. But I have become as you are. You are free. And that's his point in verse 28 and 29. But that persecution is still happening now, right? The Jerusalem down here, the Jerusalem of slavery, these Judaizers who are telling you, you have to do this and do that and do that and do this. Once again, they're persecuting the children of freedom. But then he concludes in verse 30, but what does Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman.
Children of the promise.
Children of the promise. And again, Paul's recalling words of Scripture in the Old Testament, which says, cast out the slave woman and her son. God's doing that not because he's not going to take care of Hagar and Ishmael, he is, but because your sin has complicated this, and these two things can't exist together. And that's exactly what he's saying now. You can't have Jesus and anything else. Salvation comes either Jesus, period, or it doesn't come. You can't say believe in Jesus and do this. In our day and age, it's not circumcision. In our day and age, it's believe in Jesus, but also believe in your faith in Jesus.
Right.
You make the decision. Have hope that you chose him. Have hope that you understand enough, that you gave your life. No, 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 you didn't. He has done it for us. It's Jesus or it's nothing.
We pray our time together in God's Word has been a blessing to you and to your faith in Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior of the world. If you enjoy listening to our program, we would love to hear from you. Go to eternalconnectionradio.com. To find our full episode archive, contact us, let us know you enjoy the show, or ask a question that Pastor Jay will answer on the air. God bless all of you. We look forward to connecting with you again next Sunday on The Eternal Connection.